Well, greetings, friends. This is John O'Gwen. We're continuing our survey of the former prophets, continuing through the section on the book of Joshua. Now, we've come to the point in Joshua chapter 13 where most of the conquests of the initial conquests of the promised land have been achieved. Joshua, we're told in Joshua chapter 13, was old and stricken in years. He had come to this particular point in life and details the areas that had been taken, and he was told to divide this land as an inheritance for the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. As we saw in a previous section, the two tribes of Reuben and Gad, along with half of the tribe of Manasseh, had received their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. But now they are ready to parcel out the land for the remaining tribes of Israel. And only the tribe of Levi was not to be given an inheritance. So this is detailed in chapter 13, these instructions of what Moses had instructed on the east side of the Jordan. The land has been subdued, and now the men of war from Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh are going to be allowed to go back to cross back over the Jordan and to be with their families and to enter to inherit that land. So at this point in chapter 14, as Moses was preparing, or Joshua was preparing to follow Moses' instructions, Caleb came to Joshua there in Gilgal. This is in verse 6. Now, if you remember the story from the book of Numbers, Caleb was, along with Joshua, one of the two spies who was faithful and who brought a good report, who encouraged the people to believe God, to follow God's instructions, and enter into the promised land. Well, because the people as a whole did not believe Joshua and Caleb, but rather followed the others, God allowed that generation to wander in the wilderness 40 years and ultimately to die. After the people of that generation had died in the wilderness, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones of their generation to actually come into the promised land. Now Caleb comes to Joshua and he reminds Joshua of what Moses had told the two of them years earlier. Now it's interesting, we know from this point, because of something that is mentioned, exactly how long it took Israel to subdue the promised land. It took them 6 years. Very interestingly, this statement about Israel entering into rest is utilized quite a bit in the books of Deuteronomy and Joshua. Do you know when Israel entered into rest, when they ceased wandering and living in temporary dwellings and actually inherited the promised land? They entered into rest. They received their inheritance in the seventh year. Just as God gave 6 days and then a seventh day that he reserved for himself, the Sabbath, the day of rest, now we find that over the course of the 6 years. Now, how do we know that it took 6 years? Well, the answer is right here in Joshua chapter 14. Caleb reminds Joshua of what had happened years earlier, and in verse 7 he said, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land." And he said, now, verse 10, "The Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. I'm now 85. Now, if you go back to the story recorded in Numbers 13 and 14, you will find that the spies went into the land exactly just about a year after Israel had come out of the wilderness, had come out of Egypt and into the wilderness. So a year had passed. God then said, "You'll wander for 40 years. That included the first year. So we have come a period of 45 years since Moses made the promise to Joshua and Caleb, since the people did not follow them and enter the promised land, and therefore came under the sentence of wandering. 45 years have elapsed since that day, which means 46 years had elapsed since the Exodus. Israel entered the promised land 40 years after the Exodus. Therefore, this event comes 6 years after the entrance into the land. And Caleb was given the inheritance there at Hebron. Now, We find instructions, we find details now beginning to be given of the areas, the exact descriptions of the borders of the different tribes. And we could go through here. We read about Judah in chapter 15 and in chapter 16. We read about the children of Joseph, particularly Ephraim, mentioned in verse 5, the half-tribe of Manasseh that was on the west bank of the Jordan, not the half-tribe that had already received its inheritance beyond the Jordan. That's mentioned in chapter 17, verse 1. The demarcation of their boundaries is given out. Now, in chapter 18, the whole congregation assembled together at Shiloh, and they set up the tabernacle of the congregation. The land was subdued. So here we are at this time, 6 years after the entrance into the land, very likely at the fall festival period, and Israel is now preparing to enter into rest. There are seven tribes that have not received their inheritance. We find the description given in verse 10 that Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Eternal, and he divided the land according to their divisions. Benjamin's inheritance is described in verse 11, and in chapter 19, verse 1, the second lot came forth to the tribe of Simeon. Verse 10, the third lot came for Zebulun. Verse 17, the fourth lot for the tribe of Issachar. The fifth lot is mentioned in verse 24 for the tribe of Asher. The sixth lot was cast and fell for the tribe of Naphtali, mentioned in verse 32. Verse 40, the seventh lot, or the seventh of the tribes, the final remaining of the 12 tribes, was Dan. So all the details of that inheritance are given and spelled out here in terms of the geographic boundaries, and they can be traced out in a map. So we're told these are the inheritances, verse 51, that Joshua and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle, and they made an end of dividing the country. Now, the Levitical cities were appointed, the cities of refuge, in chapter 20, and in chapter 21, we read of the Levitical cities that were assigned to the Levites, and those their locations are spelled out, and the details of that are given throughout chapter 21. So we're told in verse 43 that the Lord gave unto Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. Verse 44, and the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he swore unto their fathers. You see, God's promises came to pass. The children of Israel entered into rest. Now, chapter 22, Joshua called the men of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he said, you've done what I ask you to do. Verse 4, now the Lord your God has given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. So you can return to your inheritance, return to the area, you also can enter into rest. So they're now, the whole nation is entering into God's rest. They have received the promises. Joshua blessed them, verse 6, and sent them away. Now there's a very good lesson in the latter part of chapter 22. As the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh were coming back to the Jordan River, they began to talk about something. And when they got to the bank of the Jordan, there on the edge of the Jordan River, they constructed an altar that was an exact model of the altar at Shiloh. Now, verse 11 says that the children of Israel heard say that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar. Now, God had instructed that there be a central place of worship, that all the nation was to come to appear before him at the tabernacle. You know, it's amazing how rumors get started. People hear something and they jump to conclusions. In fact, I've observed over the years, it seems the biggest exercise some people get is jumping to conclusions. Well, the whole nation jumped to conclusions here. They heard there was an altar, and that was right, just like the one at Shiloh. They assumed that the reason this was being done is these people were, in effect, starting their own religion. And they said, oh, this will never do. This will bring a curse of God upon us. They got together a great army, and they were going to go and attack these tribes on the east side of the Jordan. Thankfully, before they did, someone thought to inquire and say, what were you doing? And the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh said, well, what we were doing was building a memorial. We were building a memorial. We weren't going to offer sacrifices there. We weren't building a center of worship. But we got to thinking, you know, the Jordan River is a dividing line. And in generations to come, some of our descendants living on the east of the Jordan may say, well, look, what connection do we have with this, with Israel there and the tabernacle at Shiloh? What connection do we have with that? So we wanted to build an altar that would be an exact replica, that would serve as a reminder to our people that we are intimately connected and interwoven with all of Israel and that we all point toward that altar at Shiloh. Their answer, their explanation was perfectly innocent. And then the rest of the nation realized they almost launched a civil war based upon a rumor. You know, an important lesson for all of us to learn. You hear something, somebody's done so and so. You know, it's always a good idea to find out straight from the individual what they did and why they did it, rather than jump to conclusions and assume. Sometimes all sorts of problems get started that way. So they call this altar, verse 34, witness. Name in Hebrew was Ed. Then a witness, and it was a witness between the 2.5 tribes and the God of Israel. Chapter 23, verse 1, it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from their enemies. Joshua was old, he was stricken in years. So now several more years have gone by. Joshua is quite old. He knows that he is reaching the end of his life and is not going to be able to continue. He calls the people together and he's called for all Israel, verse 2, their elders and their leaders. And he said, I'm getting quite old. Verse 6, but you be therefore very courageous. Keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Don't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Verse 8, cleave to the Lord your God as you've done this day. Because if you don't, God, he told them in verse 13, will not drive out any of the nations from before you. There'll be snares and traps. If you don't remain faithful to God and trust Him and look to Him, you're going to fall in various problems. God won't fight your battles for you if you're not faithful to Him. Joshua told them in verse 14, behold, this day, I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of God's promises and blessings. So chapter 24, the conclusion of the book of Joshua, he gathers the tribes of Israel together in Shechem. He reminded them of their history, their forebearers, verse 2, who had dwelt beyond the Euphrates, the ancestors of Abraham, Terah, and the father of Abraham. That family had worshipped idols. Abraham had served God, and Abraham was taken and came from beyond the Euphrates to the promised land. Joshua briefly reminds them of that, of the promises God made to Abraham, and then of how they came down to Egypt and the family grew to great size and God ultimately brought them in to the promised land. And he asked the people to renew the covenant. The people answered and they said in verse 16, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. They told Joshua in verse 21, once again, we will serve God. You see, Joshua had told them, he said, look, you choose who you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the eternal. The people reiterated the covenant. Joshua said in verse 23, if you're going to really serve God, then put away the strange gods. The covenant was reiterated, and Joshua wrote these words, verse 26, in the book of the law of God. In other words, he wrote the book of Joshua, and it was added to the canon of Scripture. And so Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. And so with this session today, we have concluded our survey of the book of Joshua. Next time, we will continue on in our survey of the former prophets going into the book of Judges. And so, until next time, this is John O'Gwen for the Living Church of God.